Chapter 4 You go, and I'll stay a while. Second-class passenger Lawrence Beasley considered himself the rankest landlubber, but even he knew what rockets meant. The Titanic needed help, needed it so badly she was calling on any ship near enough to see. The others on the boat deck understood, too. There was no more joking or lingering. In fact, there was hardly time to say goodbye. "It's all right, little girl," called Dan Marvin to his new bride. "You go and I'll stay a while." He blew her a kiss as she entered the boat. "I'll see you later," Adolf Diker smiled as he helped Mrs. Diker across the gunwale. "Be brave. No matter what happens, be brave." Dr. W.T. Minahan told Mrs. Minahan as he stepped back with the other men. Mr. Terrell Cavendish said nothing to Mrs. Cavendish. Just a kiss, a long look, another kiss, and he disappeared into the crowd. Mark Fortune took his wife's valuables as he and his son Charles saw off Mrs. Fortune and their three daughters. "I'll take care of them. We're going in the next boat," he explained. "Charles, take care of Father," one of the girls called back to her brother.
"Walter, you must come with me," begged Mrs. Walter D. Douglas.
"No," Mr. Douglas replied, turning away. "I must be a gentleman."
"Try and get off with Major Button, Mr. Moore," came a final bit of wifely advice. "They are big, strong fellows, and will surely make it."
Some of the wives still refused to go. Mr. and Mrs. Edgar Meyer of New York felt so self-conscious arguing about it in public that they went down to their cabin. There they decided to part on account of their baby. Arthur Ryerson had to lay down the law to Mrs. Ryerson. "You must obey orders. When they say women and children to the boats, you must go when your turn comes. I'll stay here with Jack Thayer. We'll be all right." Alexander T. Compton, Jr. was just as firm when his mother announced she would stay rather than leave him behind. "Don't be foolish, Mother. You and sister go in the boat."